Hi, so welcome to this podcast, which is about growth blind spots for advice businesses. My name is Charisse Mercer and I lead the Virtual Advisor Network team here at Macquarie. The Virtual Advisor Network is a community of high-performing accounting and wealth practices that join our community and we work with them to achieve some of their growth ambitions and build really sustainable businesses. I'm joined by Sian Chung, and he is a client development manager and has been with the VAN team for around 5 years. Welcome, Sian.
Thanks, Rhys.
Do you want to have just to tell the listeners a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So I do that as my day job, is work closely with these firms on their growth strategies.
Yep.
Whatever that may look like, organic, inorganic, internal, external. And, you know, what we're finding at the moment is that, strangely enough, a lot of firms are actually finding growth is slowing or is constrained.
Right. Okay.
Double-digit growth used to be pretty common and now much less so. The question from a lot of these businesses is, well, how do we kick up that growth? I mean, we seem to be doing a good job. Clients are happy. They're not leaving.
Yeah.
But growth is slowed. So what do we do about this?
Absolutely. And you've had some experiences of executing a couple of strategies to try and overcome
exactly
this kind of growth inertia.
That's right.
What are they?
Yeah, sure. So what we've done is we did a bit of research surveying end clients, mm-hmm. and there are two potential blind spots for advisors. The first is advisors need to shore up trust with clients in this environment in order to maintain their willingness to refer them.
Right. Okay, so okay. That's dropped off, even the very best advisors and the very best
There's a risk of it dropping
clients.
Off. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And the reason it's a blind spot is that clients aren't leaving, but their propensity to refer can be compromised in this environment.
Right, that's interesting.
And you'll have more detail on that, being
sure.
the guru of all survey insights. And then the second one is one that's been around for decades, which is ask clients for referrals.
Right. So shore up their willingness to refer.
Yes.
And then make sure they do.
Yes, to convert the willingness into action.
Yeah.
And we've heard that for a while, but advisors still don't do it. And we find that about half of the clients that want to refer an advisor are doing it and the other half are not.
Right.
So, I mean, just looking at the numbers, you could double the number of referrals you're getting.
Yes.
By converting those other clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's do a deep dive into both of those.
Sounds good.
Great.
So, I mean, a lot of the insights that have driven this, our insights here, have come from our survey, and you're kind of the guru in that space. So it might help the listeners if you just explain briefly what the survey was that we used to get this information.
Yeah, sure.
And then how advisors and accountants can move the dial.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Sian's referring to a survey that we do with, that we've done over the last 5 years or so with around 10,000 end clients. And we survey them on 26 different attributes of their advisor relationship to see, you know, how satisfied are they, how what's their propensity to stay with their existing advisor, and what's their propensity to refer their friends and family to their existing advisor. So for around 5 years since the inception of the survey that we've done, the what drives satisfaction has tended to remain pretty stable. But in 2018, we decided to add a new attribute. And that attribute was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you feel that your advisor puts your interests above their own? We came up with some really interesting results. So when it came to satisfaction, that particular attribute about thinking the advisor puts the client's interests above their own was number 3 in terms of driving the client satisfaction. So absolutely, it was a factor. When we looked at, did it have an influence over the client actually looking to take their business elsewhere? It really didn't play out as a factor. But when we looked at whether that belief in the advisor putting their clients' interests above their own was applied to how does that impact people's willingness to refer, it's actually the number one driver. So in other words, if a client, no matter how long the relationship or how big a previous advocate they've been of the firm, there's now question marks around that. And if they're not 100% sure around this question of advisor best interest, if you like, they're not willing to refer anymore, and potentially that referral pipeline dries up. So it's, you know, just thinking about what the implications of that are for firms' growth, it's obviously a blind spot, a growth blind spot that we've been talking about.
So clients can be happy. Clients may not be leaving, but my growth pipeline could dry up silently without my knowledge.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so I'm an advisor and accountant, and I'm thinking right now, well, I do put my clients' interests above my own, so it's not a problem for me.
Of course.
Okay, so how could that be a blind spot for me? What could I be missing? Or how could I make it absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt in the minds of clients that I put their interests first?
Absolutely. And look, perception is reality. It's a really great point you raise, because the majority of advisors out there are doing fantastic things for their clients and really putting the client's interests first. But it's about proving that. And when we did some more deeper dives into the research, we found that two of the top three kind of associated attributes around this, I really believe my advisor puts my interests above their own, were around fees.
Right.
So fee transparency and value.
Right.
So some of the conversations we've been having with our member firms are around with every client having a proactive conversation about fees to make sure that they 100% understand what you charge, how you make money, and what the value the client gets for that fee is. And it's really interesting. We've had some pushback from advisors saying, but I've known these people for 20 years. We, you know, we're at each other's children's birthday parties and weddings, et cetera. And they're the clients that are most likely to have referred you in the past. They're also the clients that may have question marks that they're just not going to ask you about best interest given your relationship, but they'll still have question marks.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it may have been years since you've had a formal conversation about fee structures and so on.
Absolutely.
Because it's been just part of the rhythm.
Yeah, and it may feel weird, but to arm those advocates with the information that they need to actually be able to talk knowledgeably at over dinner with friends or at a picnic or a barbecue is actually what you're trying to do, rather than assuming that they don't trust you, because that's not the case.
Sure. Okay. So we're making it much more overt that we're putting the client's interest first, and we know that being transparent about fees is a really powerful way to do that and connecting it with the value we're doing.
Absolutely.
So a client's willingness goes up, but then that won't in itself lead to more growth.
No, because that's really interesting as well, because we've got to keep the willingness there.
Yeah.
Obviously, but, we've had discussions before, Sean, particularly with some of the firms that you deal with around something called the referral gap.
Yes. Yeah. So the referral gap, what that looks like is typically a firm, when we ask their clients, how likely are you to recommend the advisor? 80% say 9 or 10 out of 10.
Yeah, that's really great advocacy.
Great.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So that's what we mean by clients are usually delighted.
Yep.
But when we say, have you actually referred them? It's usually about 42%.
Wow, that's a big difference, right? Isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've got the willingness, but it doesn't always translate to action. So if you've got 500 clients, talking about 38%, you know, you're in the ballpark of 200 clients, you know, that you could be getting in the next 12 to 24 months, right?
And that's a whole lot of growth for a firm.
It's a lot of growth. So one of the most common things I hear from accountants and advisors tend to be quite humble, right? They tend to be driven by wanting to do a good job for their client.
Absolutely.
And so what I often hear is, if I do a good job for my client, they'll refer us, right?
Yes.
But yes, the data shows that that's only true for half of your clients.
Yes.
Now, there could be any number of reasons why a client doesn't refer. And some of the ones we've heard are, we think, well, firstly, the top reason is my advisor didn't ask me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Simple. So it wasn't top of mind for me.
Exactly.
To be thinking about who can I talk to, refer?
It just wasn't
who
might top of need mind. This? That's right. I didn't know. Maybe they don't think commercially and they don't think about growing businesses and all that sort of thing. So they're just not of that nature. So that was the top in a survey, not conducted by us, but somebody else. Other reasons are, I think they're too busy. I don't want to trouble them.
That is something we hear all the time, isn't it? You know, when a client walks into an advisor's office and says, how are
you?
And the advisor says, oh, busy.
Flat out. Exactly.
Really busy.
So I don't want to make your life worse. I also don't want to make my work of a lower quality because you're so busy.
Yes.
You could have that they're not sure how to position you when they talk to their friends and family. Maybe they're not comfortable talking about money and with those people. So there could be a dozen reasons why a client isn't doing it today.
Yes.
And so what we recommend is to actually have a bit of a workshop with your team and think of a way of asking clients in a structured way that's really authentic to your culture. So maybe the word referral isn't you. Maybe it's personal introductions, something along those lines.
Sure.
Maybe the way you position it is you pull out a family tree and say, who else should we really be helping here? Who else do you feel perhaps isn't as secure as they'd like to feel? Or who could be a risk to your plan?
Yeah, because they're all in that sphere of influence and could affect the outcomes of the financial lifestyle goals.
Spot on.
The key client. So
exactly.
Just doing that, just finding out about the client's sphere is, doing the best interest
with
the client.
Yeah, so you're doing it for them,
sure.
Not for you. So look, it's a lot of, another thing I hear is, I feel salesy. We don't ask for referrals here, right? Well, then don't make it about asking for a referral. Make it about helping more people. Connect it to your company's purpose and do it in a genuine way, and then you won't be selling.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Just flipping the mindset of you as a leader and your team, advisors, everybody in the business from we're asking our clients for a favor when they refer us to we're helping our client's circle of friends become to reach their goals. It's a real flip of mindset, but it's powerful.
It is a bit of a flip. And one of the things that an advisor should take confidence in is that you are already doing a good job. You've done 99% of the work. You've earned the client's trust. You are not trying to influence someone or change their mind here, right? They've actually said that they want to refer you.
Yes.
When we survey them, and we've surveyed 30,000-ish clients.
Yes.
80% say 9 or 10 out of 10 we want to refer. So all you're doing is the extra 1% to open that door and...
Well, and telling them that actually that's what would be good for you rather than that's what would be bad for me and causing me more work.
Exactly.
On the busyness front, as an example.
Yeah. Some firms ban the word busy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a hint and a tip, isn't it? What do you do differently? Not say you're busy.
Spot on.
And asking for referrals is not about a favour. It's just giving information to the client that you're open for business or open for more business.
100%. So, look, this has been talked about for decades, about referrals in professional services.
Yes.
And what it comes down to is just do it, right?
Yes.
Stop talking about it or avoiding it and just do it. Mm-hmm. Do it in a way that's authentic to your culture.
Yes.
And brainstorm ways that you can overcome the potential blockages, So here's a very quick example.
Yeah, sure.
I might say to a client, let's talk about who in your sphere you would like to help or you think could benefit from the sort of thing that we've helped you with recently, especially if you've just had a high point.
Yes.
Charisse, next time you talk to them, why don't you float the idea with them? And if they're open to it, we're happy to do an obligation-free health check with them. And just get their okay first, but let us know and we'll give them a call and just tee up a meeting that suits them.
Right? That's a great example because it knocks out quite a few of the potential hurdles.
That's right. So we, as the firm, we now have the next action. It's not sitting outside with that person who doesn't know us from a bar of soap and everyone gets busy. So, you know, that's just one quick example. I'm sure listeners could find ways that are much better for them. But
I love that example. Because you know, one of the things we've spoken about before is I don't want to put my friends and family in a situation where this is going to cost them money, but you know, an obligation free health check of their finances to see how we may be able to help is a great way to do that, because they don't feel like they're signing their friends and family up for anything if that's one of the hurdles for them.
It removes one of the fears.
Yeah,
so the reason we call them these two things blind spots, the first one is that clients can be happy and loyal, but stop referring.
Yes.
If they're not 100% clear.
And they're not asking the question or telling you that.
Correct, and they won't tell you.
Yeah, so it's silent. Because
they're not worried about the service they're getting. And the other blind spot is clients say they want to refer, but they're not doing it. And advisors can think that by doing a good job, clients will refer, but that's simply not always the case.
So at the beginning, we talked about there being kind of these two blind spots that are that are really hindering growth for firms, particularly post-Royal Commission with some of the trust issues coming up. So by shoring up the willingness, by ensuring you have those conversations around fees so that you're just shoring up that trust that's always been there, but just making sure it's rock solid, and then proactively asking and saying we're open for business, particularly now in this environment where, you know, it can be challenging for people to find the right advisor. That feels like a great formula for getting growth back on track.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Sian, for those insights. Really interesting what can cause these growth blind spots for those practices who are really looking for continued growth. And number one, just in summary, it's about shoring up the willingness of your best advocates, your existing clients, to refer. So making sure you have those fee conversations, be completely transparent and ensure that they're still willing to refer you and they're really confident to do that. And then translating that into actual referrals by asking. It's as simple as that, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. And we look forward to sharing some more insights with you on future podcasts. Thanks a lot.